December the 15th. Our first item on the agenda is I'll open up the public forum. I know we have some employee recognitions. Brian?
I'd like to recognize Dan Grelli.
Come on up here, Dan.
Dan's our senior engineering technician. He will be retiring at the end of the year. Dan began his career here at RWU in September of 1991. And so that's 34 years and 3 months of service.
That's awesome.
Remember, at that time, there was a garage here, and there was a brick house over in the front office. Things have changed.
Dan's done a little bit of everything from surveying, design, mostly is kind of the horsepower behind our plan review these days. So he's seen and done a little bit of it all. We appreciate your service.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is he really retiring? No, that's.
Yeah. No.
What are you gonna do?
Are
you really retiring, or are you doing something else, Dan?
I've got lots to do.
Good for you.
The list gets long, and you want to come.
Yes, I got it. He's Pope Dan. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate your service.
That's right. He is. He's a.
Thanks for allowing me to be here.
Okay. Any other anybody here need to address the commission on anything that's not on the agenda? Close the public forum. We'll move then to the minutes. We have minutes that were sent out in our packet from the November the 17th meeting. I'll entertain a motion. We have time to review those.
I would make a motion to approve minutes.
Second.
Travis, Kathy. I have a motion. Second. Any further discussion? All those aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the minutes from November the 17th. We'll move now into our reports. The first report would be financial reports. Jared. Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon. How are you?
Good.
This will be our report for month of November. Starting with billed revenue and consumption in the water department, we've got billed revenue of $1.64 million. That is down about 5.3% from November of 2024. If you just look at the billed revenue associated with consumption, it's down 4.4%, while water consumption itself is down 10.2%. For the sewer department, billed revenue in total is up $1.98 million. It's up 8.6% from the prior year. Billed revenue associated with consumption is up 18.9%, while consumption itself is up 0.7%. This kind of continues the trend we have been seeing where sewer consumption is running higher relative to water, and then also we've had a couple of rate increases since November of 2024, which is why the billed revenue isn't quite looking as down as consumption itself. So that's helping us on the billed revenue side. What's not really helping us so much is access and impact fees, and we'll get to that here in a second. For actuals versus budget, November is 5 months of the way through the fiscal year. So we say that 42% is our benchmark for comparison. Relative to that, water revenues are tracking under at 40%. Expenses are right on target at 42%. And our water capital outlay is 22% of budget. In dollars, that's about $2.3 million. On the sewer side, revenues are trending under as well at 39%. Expenses at 42%, right where we expect them to be. And sewer capital outlay at 13%. That's about $6 million for the sewer outlay. For year-to-date income, it is positive for both water and sewer. We are building towards our budgeted net income, but you can see that we're lagging that 42% as our benchmark. In water, we've got net income of $3.77 million. That's 38% of budgeted income. And sewer is at $3.14 million, or 34% of budgeted income. And access and impact fees, about $91,000 collected this month. Year-to-date actuals are $670,000. That's 21% of the 3.2 that we collected last year. It's 14% of our budget. So between access and impact fees and contributed capital, those assets that are donated to us from developers, those are really the two classes of revenues that are lagging behind at this point. If you look at revenue from water consumption across residential, commercial, industrial users, that's all running 47 to 49% of budget. So ahead of the 42%. Revenue from sewer consumption is 42 to 48%. So basically right where you expect to be on the consumption figures. It is those access and impact fees, those contributed capital revenues that are lagging. In conversations with our engineering team, they're looking at that project list of those development projects, either under construction or expected to be under construction, and they're still thinking it's a good list. So we'll cross our fingers that by the end of the fiscal year, those revenue numbers will shape up a little bit and we'll be on target.
Sure, what if those numbers don't firm up? Brent, that's something I know, as I looked at those this year over year, and you go back even and looking at those, I'm really more on the water. I mean, if the water's the part that seems to be, you look at the 24, 25, and then the 26 numbers, and those numbers are softer even than the 24. So just, I know we're banking a lot on access impact fees to make up that gap.
Yeah.
But we're kind of working our way through the year. So I'm just, at some point, as we work through that, I just want to know, what do we do if we're not firming those numbers up? Is there a plan in place to say, okay, where do we pull back? What do we do to make sure that's no alarms, but I'm just saying, I've looked at those as I looked at, and I was really, it's still kind of, I scratched my head about the, you look at the consumption numbers and you look at the revenue part of it. Some of those just, I try to make them make sense in my mind.
Yeah.
And I know, some of the irrigation numbers and some things coming out of the summer. I just want us to be mindful, and I know y'all are mindful, you're watching these numbers every day, but when you look up and we're not hitting some of those numbers from 2 years ago in the water side, just a little bit of concern. Just want to know what we do if they don't firm up. So nothing today, but just keep looking at them. And
as we talked a lot, Jerry, sorry.
No.
If you go to the net income sheets, and if we were where we're supposed to be budgeting with the impact, obviously, we'd be $1.5 million more.
Okay.
We'd be $500,000 in the positive. We're behind $1 million right now.
Yeah, and that's and those.
So that's really where it is. The others are out of our control. This is in our control to some extent because we know projects are still moving forward. I think it's just
timing.
It's timing. Well, we talked about that. We said, do you really think it's time? Well, I hope it's timing. That's all it should be. The projects are still moving. Nothing's falling off the charts that we know of. So hopefully it's just a lot of timing issues. We're early enough in the year.
But that's how
we're not 8 months in.
Fred, that applies to the impact fees and some of those things like that. Going back just to the core business is what I'm asking is more about, if you kind of strip that off, back to the core business, is the core business, when you look at that year over year, how does that look? Because, you come back and say, well, we'll kind of right side with these, and I'm going to that in here. But if I go back and think, again, the consumption, where are we at on consumption? And then, again, just the core business is what we do. And so, I just echo, I see those numbers causing a little bit of a pause, and I just, I know y'all are looking at them, but I
told Jerry the same thing. I'm not used to being up here and being high. We've been kind of spoiled for a long time. The numbers always look great. We do have something, so we're putting our heads together all the time to try to figure out what's causing it, where we're at, what we're doing. So we're looking at it all the time. We always try to put the icing, this is way back from Joyce's day, right? The icing is the irrigation, so we never try to, you know, if we don't get that, we're still in good shape. You know, we've got reserves, very good on reserves, things like that. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. But we are watching that very closely.
And I cited those consumption figures to try to proactively kind of answer that question about the core business. You know, if we're somewhere between 42% and 49%, depending on the customer class, you'd expect us to be a little bit ahead of the 42% benchmark just because it's higher consumption in the summer getting into fall. But it's not trending under 42%, right, on those key revenue accounts. So the other thing I would mention is that when you're looking at the comparison to the budgeted net income, we have now included contributed capital in that net income figure, and that's non-cash, right? So there's not an impact to our cash reserves as far as that goes, but it's, you know, how that goes kind of depends on those projects that we talked about. But at the end of the day, those aren't going to be affecting our cash position.
Absolutely. And the 666 is what I'm kind of really focused on. And then going over the other question is just when you get over into the income statement and looking at just expenses, you know, what expenses, you know, 5 months in, are there any expenses? There was a couple of things in that kind of jumped out. Outside services, there was an expense. Like, was that an adjustment that we made from last month? $41,000. It was something. It was set outside services under general expenses. That was on the sewer side.
I have to look at it.
Not, this is not a gotcha. It just says I just looked at those expenses. So, enough said. Thank you.
Yep. Cash position between water and sewer, unrestricted and restricted funds, is at $58 million. And if you'll recall from last month's report, we breached $61 million, and at that time I gave you a heads up we could probably see some volatility there as we get into the meat of the solids handling project and we start incurring some big invoices and expenses related to both construction and equipment. So the timing of those expenses, when the checks are cut, the reimbursements that we're getting as we draw down our 2024 series debt for those expenses, the timing of those things is going to cause a little fluctuation to our cash reserves here. And so we see it back down to $58 million from the $61 million that we reported last month. But I think that's to be expected. We're still $5.5 million more than our cash position last year.
There's some contractors out there, I'm sure, that appreciated those checks because it made some of their years. So. We knew it was coming. So
it's been a long time coming too.
Yeah, it is. Days. A lot of those folks carry that.
For other financial reporting items, we have 9% purchase water unaccounted for, which is the highest we've reported since March of 2023. And for that reason, I felt it was probably important to go ahead and go look at that on our lost water report. Now I call it lost water report, but it's really purchased water unaccounted for, because in this report we do make an effort to log those known or reasonably estimable uses of water. And some of those estimates fall into this miscellaneous usage category here. And so we have a 12-month rolling average that we track. It's over on the right-hand side of this spreadsheet there. You see the 8.7%, and then the history prior to that, right? So when you jump from 7.4, a rounded 7, to a rounded 9, you wonder what fell off. And it's this, if you look over here, this negative 22.6%. Back in November of 2024, we really had kind of 3 months here where we were accounting for water leaks, known water leaks, in October, November, December. We can estimate the usage on those for a period of time, 3 months, 6 months, whatever we think is reasonably known, and then plug that into our usage here to try to account for it. Inevitably, there's probably a little bit of a mismatch between when we're recording it and when we actually used it. So even though between these 3 months we tried to spread it out a little bit, we still had the overall effect of showing more usage than we had purchased. And as a result, you had a kind of a big month there in terms of sort of reverse water loss, right? And that negative 22.6% has helped. It has pushed down our purchased water unaccounted for calculation for the last 12 months. So we know that's not ideal. It's kind of this balance between accounting for water that you can't account for, but then also trying to plug it into the right reporting month. And there's also something to be said for, we call it an irrigation bump, where, you know, we bill in arrears, and so you use water before you bill for it. And I think that does have a role in some of these numbers too. We see down here in the more recent months, right, we've got smaller sort of reverse net water loss, where we used more, or we recorded a higher usage than we did the purchase of it. But, you know, it's a statistic, and we put this data here to try to tell you how we're getting to those statistics. Part of it is how we record the data, and I would just say we recognize the impact of 1 month like that now, and we're going to try to peg as closely as we can the usage to a good reporting month to try to avoid some of those, or the effect of a big swing, you know, that 1 month can kind of factor into that calculation.
That's it. I'd add, it's kind of my personal opinion, but like, if you look at miscellaneous usage on the top half of that page and you look at the bottom half, we're not seeing these big breaks anymore, right off, if you will. And that's a good thing. We don't like to say that out loud, but yeah, but the breaks, you're not seeing that. We've put meters on the fire stations. We've put meters on things like that, the training centers. So we're not really estimating things that maybe we were estimating too conservative, or overly conservative, but it's pretty tight right there for miscellaneous usage, even compared to a year ago. So the unicorns that Johnny and I would call the leaks that we're finding, we found a lot of them. I don't know how true that is. I like to feel that's pretty true. And we're just, again, because we find them early as leaks instead of waiting for them to break, because of those acoustic detectors and stuff, we're just a lot tighter system now. So that is the true number, and you're not going to have those wild swings.
Nothing else. Yeah. I have a question for you. So, on purchased gallons, does that match our water bill that we get from Beaver Water District?
It does.
Do we track it in? Do we track it in? So how do we?
We don't have that capacity with our meters.
But basically, we get a bill from them, and they say, okay, this is how much you purchased. And that's what we're in the business of. We purchase that. And so for us, the only way to offset that is, like, what we basically, we have to bill for it. And if we are, it's consumed. Anything that's not identified as consumed, billed industrial, commercial, residential, it's lost somewhere. But we have no way of tracking the inbound water to say, okay, you billed us for 270, we got 270. We just get their bill, and that's what we
get close, but the timing is the issue.
Okay.
We do also get a daily report from Beaver Water District that we monitor to make sure that, you know, those pretty well square up with the monthly bill that we get at the end of the month.
Well, I just never had asked, you know, when you start thinking, well, I look at this, and we've always taken, I think, a pretty good point of pride that, you know, we've had one of the lowest, and we know that in some of our surrounding communities, that's part of their issue, is they had to raise rates because they had unaccounted for. It's like we find it, but you're not selling it. So just, again, just trying to learn. So thank you. Commissioners, any other questions? All right. Jared, thank you.
I do have one more thing I was going to mention at the bottom of the report there. There was a question last month about penalties, and so I tried to give you a little bit more detail here about what goes into those revenue accounts as well as the year over year. So we've got an account for water penalties and for sewer penalties. I mentioned the 10% late fee at the last meeting, but also the water fund is the beneficiary of sort of the extra fees, right, that you see right there. Reminder notices, disconnect fees, meter tampering, NSFs, etc. And you can see there, I've given you a year over year for the first 5 months of the fiscal year, July through November of 24, compared to July through November of 25. And those are higher. I did not go and try to pull the number of these things, but I would estimate that maybe one of the primary reasons why these are higher is because we've again had two rate increases since November of 2024. So 10% of a higher bill is going to be more revenues coming in on penalties.
Okay.
That concludes my report.
Good report. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Commissioners, anything else you have financial laws?
Jared, one thing that jumped out on the, you're probably not going to remember this from memory, but miscellaneous income on sewer last November was $409,000. So we've got a, I'm guessing that was a one-time something rather from last year that
we were recording our grant revenues in there from ARPA funds.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Good number. Big number. Big number. Okay. Engineering.
I apologize, I neglected to put our projects reviewed list in here, so I printed some out for you.
No, thank you for that.
Okay, we'll get started here. The
this was our Christmas parade float.
That was kind of a collaboration between some of our team members from engineering field and office and RPCF, and that was a little fun little project we did kind of after hours, and we all had a good time doing that. I mentioned Dan's retirement. We did backfill that position with a young lady, Ann Masters, joined us the first of the month, so we are training her to be Dan's replacement. And pollution control facility, solids handling facility. The building is up. The steel's being erected, and this was from last Wednesday. They were working on the building skin and the roof. The structural elements will be the main focus for the next month or so, and then I think right by the end of January, you'll start seeing some of the dryer equipment being moved in and put into place, along with HVAC and plumbing and electrical work, which will continue for several more months.
Is that like aqua green? What is
it
that?
It's a patina green.
Very good.
It's
70s.
It's a good contrast from the gray kind of concrete look around there. This was a Democratic vote, and so we did allow some of the staff from RPCF to look at the colors and give us their opinions, and this was the popular choice.
Very good.
Green and tan will be the.
That's not red like the master truck. So. Maybe a mural of all the commissioners. Well,
not in the budget.
We've got another little project. This is an aerial sewer crossing that crosses the drainage ditch just south of Walnut and east of 28th, kind of behind. There's a little shopping center, O'Reilly's, and a new come and go down there on the corner. This is kind of back there behind that. The street department, in response to some flooding complaints, wants to widen this channel. And so we've gotten back there and scratched around some of those piers and found out that they're not deep at all. And so we're figuring out how to try to support that pipe or deepen those piers. While keeping this in service, and so it's kind of a tricky little project. We've had Olson come out and take a look at it last week, and so we're going to be coming up with a few options to solve that. So
no compromise in the pipe. It's just Right. For now.
Right, for now. Yeah, this is all ductile iron pipe, and it's supported on these shallow piers. We were hoping these would go down deep enough to work around them and widen that channel, but they were maybe a foot deep, and so they were pretty much sitting right there.
That's not very much.
That's awesome.
Is he trying to concrete that drainage all over the
field? Right. Well, yeah, I mean, it was partially paved through there, and then this is an area where it's a wide channel, and then it kind of necks down just due to the way that the subdivisions on either side were graded and platted. And so,
good luck.
Be working with that.
Suspension bridge has to be on the
option. Yeah, suspension bridge. Yeah, beams over. It's got to either be supported from above or below. So. The sewer collection system master plan. I've been giving you a few updates month to month. Back earlier this year, we requested that our sewer model be updated due to two things that changed from our original assumptions from the original wastewater master plan. Number one was that the planning codes had changed and allowed higher densities throughout some of these greenfield areas that will be developed. And so the old assumption of single family residential quarter to third acre lots, and now these are being compressed into townhomes and multifamily. And so we're seeing more density, that's one thing. The second thing is that the assumption for the capital improvement plan on the original report was in a wet weather event, and that's a rain that'll occur once out of every 5 years, will allow a surcharge to within 3 feet of the manhole rim. So we're not allowing overflows, but we are allowing some amount of surcharge. Since then, and a lot of other cities have been submitting their sewer models to the health department. This is kind of a new thing. The health department has interpreted the 10 state standards, which most of our sewer regulations are based off of, as no surcharges allowed in the pipe. And so this has required a lot of the projects to require larger diameter pipes for more capacity. What it's also done is it's introduced more projects to our capital improvement plan. And so, for example, if we had an 18-inch pipe and it was surcharging within, 6 feet of the surface, in the build-out scenario, under the old model, that might not have been a project. Well, now it is, because we have a surcharge condition. And so, what does that mean for our capital plan? The original capital plan, for the build-out scenario, we had $131.2 million in our collection system. And this is just for capacity improvements. With the updated model, that's $175.1 million. And so you're talking about $45 million in increases, but I think the bigger story here is that short-term investment has gone from $30.5 million to $80.8 million. And short-term is basically within the next 5 years or so, we need to get started on some of these projects. And so, we're looking at $50 million additional over the next 5 years. So we've been in talks with the health department, because a lot of this is coming from the no surcharge mandate. And so the stance that we've been taking is, listen, we're aware of these risks. If we can monitor these surcharges under certain rain events and verify that we're not at risk of overflowing, not at risk of backing up into homes or businesses, then can we allow this development to continue and acknowledge that, yes, we're surcharging in these wet weather events? And so those are some of the discussions that are being had with the ADH.
this is big. I mean, it's a concern. In fact, and I don't understand all of it, but the $50 million I got, and the fact that we just did a rate study, we've just gone out and we've kind of laid out a plan. I don't know what that does or how that impacts, and I know y'all are thinking through that. In that interpretation, though, that's something new. I mean, it sounds like we just kind of, we've been doing this for some period of time, right? And so I see how it affects us, but it's got to affect every city in this state. I mean, you read about, Decatur was in the paper this weekend about the issues they've got in discharge. So is there any flexibility, you think, from the ADH, the 3-foot?
I believe
somehow, because how do you do that? I mean, it's $50 million in 5 years for us.
Right, and I would, just from speaking with some of the other cities, I'd say we're in better shape than most.
It's huge, though.
It is huge, and you're right. Every other city, I think this kind of caught all of us by surprise. And I think we've always known that extreme wet weather events we're going to have surcharging. Preventing overflows has always been the focus. But the interpretation and what the 10 states design standard says is that sewers should be designed not to surcharge. That's a little bit different than if they're surcharging, we're not going to allow any more developments to go into them. And so I think that's the point that we've been trying to push with the health department. And I know a lot of the other cities have voiced similar concerns, and they're seeing similar figures, similar dollar amounts, sometimes a lot more. And so I think the question everybody's asking is, what level of service is appropriate? Do we need to provide here? Because I think everyone can agree that designing everything for a no surcharge condition is there's just not enough money in any city to accommodate that.
So is there someone new that has that new interpretation, or is it just something that has just been there and no one's really followed it, and now all of a sudden, oh, we've got 3 feet?
I honestly believe that in the last 5 years, this is the first time that the health department has really seen these very detailed sewer models, the results of these models that's telling us what's actually going on in our system. These are, they're fairly sophisticated models. You take, you meter your flows through the sewer, you figure out your peaking factors for different basins, and you run a model of your entire collection system. It's a lot of work, it's expensive, and it's pretty sophisticated. And so I think this is kind of a new thing that they're seeing, and they're trying to apply some old standards to what they're seeing. And the message that we're trying to give them is, we have the technology to monitor this and acknowledge that, this is happening. And so, allow us to monitor, assume that responsibility.
We're basically being punished for having a model.
But there's got to be a collective effort, because it's not a Rogers-only issue. You've got I think of our big communities here, you've got small communities. I mean, this has got to be a bigger fight than just us. But it's also, regardless of whether you win that battle or not, it's the next part of it is, if in fact that urgency, we come back in the $50 million, I like to have that conversation somewhere else, of how do we do that? So as you're working your way through that, I mean, that to me, this was the one thing out of everything in this packet that I go, because it's such a big number. And again, it's not just Rogers. This is everybody down the corridor. And so much discussion out there today in all the smaller communities. What are they going to do? They have trouble funding what they need right now, regardless of a new interpretation that says, oh, by the way. So.
Well, and another thing is, if we obviously have, we operate on a finite income. We have a finite amount of resources, and given the circumstance, the choice we're left with is Okay, do we improve these areas that we have, you know, minor surcharging to allow these developments to happen? Because, you know, my staff is getting inundated with pressure from developers to improve the system so ADH will allow us to continue development. Or do we take care of more urgent problems where we do actually have overflows, you know, in some of these older parts of town? But they don't have development pressure. So, you know, that's
a... It's a city issue. The city has increased the densities. We've seen that over the last 2 or 3 years. And I've heard it said, we need growth where growth needs to be. And the density, we've increased densities. And so we're really just kind of feeding that problem.
I'll just leave it. We disagree with this. A lot of the other cities disagree with this. We've had some good presentations to some other folks, and we will continue to do that. We're not just taking that answer and running with it. It just simply costs too much, and we don't believe that's the right way to go. We're not dropping this by any means. We're pushing it forward every way we can.
Right, keep that on just, again, like top of mind. And then, again, in the event that we're unable to make headway, that, you know, with the interpretation, it's just how we can fund that. That's kind of the next thing to me is how do we pay for it if we have to do it. So, commissioners, it's all kinds of good news.
This is to be determined.
It's real. It's just,
you know.
We're working through it. We have had some productive conversations with the health department. I think we're going to come to. I feel like we're going to come to some kind of an agreement on.
How long of a time frame you think that'll take before you have some direction?
I would hope that we can get something resolved or some kind of memorandum of understanding, you know, executed, you know, sometime by the spring. With some of the conversations that we've been having. And basically it's, you know, listen, you know, we've got professional engineers on staff. We have engineers that have done these detailed modeling. We've invested in sewer monitoring technologies, both on a temporary and permanent basis. And so we have all the tools that we need to monitor and assess these risks. Just let us do our jobs here.
Thank you for that leadership. Brett, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Project status, I really don't have a whole lot of new to report. Our aerial sewer stream crossing that we discussed, and we did have our kickoff design meeting for the Mount Hebron interconnection metering station last week, and so that's that project is underway. I'd be happy to answer. Oh, one more slide. Development plans, we had a little bit of a drop off this month. We reviewed 121 total sets of plans. I'm not sure exactly why. That might have something to do with the Thanksgiving holiday. Maybe we caught back up in December. That's all I have for this month, unless you have any questions.
Thanks, Brian. Right,
thank you for your good work.
Absolutely.
Todd?
I think we set records for some of the best numbers of the previous year on this month. Hopefully we continue those on next month. Our fog program is running well. I think Big Orange is one that Amber's working on that's been a little bit tricky there in Pinnacle Promenade, working landowner versus a restaurant operator. But, you know, she's facilitating communication and moving well through them. And they have, you know, an attitude of cooperation, so it's going well. The CBOD violation from Tyson's Chicken Quick is not terribly surprising. We had warned them that something like this would probably happen once we corrected their flow data, which is half of their loading report. Hopefully now they understand that was real. So that
was, is the charge real?
I'm sorry?
Is that charge real, or did we modify that charge? The 17, is that the one we modified? Tyson, on the surcharges?
Surcharge, I'm confused on your question, I'm sorry.
The $17,085, are those real fees?
Yes, those are real fees, that's from this month. And we did go back and back charge them separately for the issues they caused at pollution control. I haven't heard if they've responded to that, but we did isolate those costs and bill them separately.
I know in a ton of prior month we had a large charge, we adjusted that down. I didn't know if this
yes.
is a real charge.
This is the actual. This we did not, actual. Yeah, that agreement to limit their charge to their normal expired whenever their construction was over. So okay. That was their actual charge.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. What else? Active one there. We did, Brent and I stayed and presented RWU functions and services to the Mayor's Academy, high school kids. Awesome group of kids. Always enjoy those guys. Freeson Nichols took a photo scan of the entire plant. It's a lot like Google Street View, except really detailed. I mean, that thing is—it's really cool. I was kind of geeking out on that whenever I read this. So it was a lot of data, and we'll have access to it during the next major project that we're doing with the influent and the equalization basin and the UV rays and all of that that you know it'll be a couple of years going. So we'll enjoy those. So if we have questions about what's out there now, I've got a link to literally walk you up to.
Well, maybe there's a meeting where we don't spend. I'll just shut up and not ask any questions, but that maybe we can see that. Right. It sounds like it's fun to be geeked out on that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. We have discovered our handling conveyor out of our centrifuges. The output auger on that thing has warped. It'll be a major cost. We are awaiting on those guys to give us an updated quote on that. I was hoping to have that for you, but the numbers just haven't come in yet. But it is a problem. We've made a temporary fix on it, but it won't last. Our temporary fix will not last. We'll have to actually do a permanent repair. And this is a section that will stay even into the next solids handling phase. So this will be something that we have to keep with us. We continue to work with Garver on our SCADA updates. Partnering with the IT department is leading that, but we're working with those guys. And solids handling project, Brian showed you pictures of that. Metal exterior is being placed. Concrete is there. Not a lot with INI this month. It was a fairly dry month. Our flow is about 10.4. That if you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them if I didn't cover them.
If there's any questions, okay. Todd, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes the reports. Our no old business, so we're going to move into new business. The first item on the new business would be our audit report for fiscal year in 25.
Good afternoon. I apologize. I do have a small presentation. I didn't get it to him in time. It's our first year. I didn't know how it worked, and we're not allowed to use flash drives for security. So you have good old fashioned paper.
We I like good old fashioned paper.
All right. So I just wanted to kind of go through our standard presentation, talk about a couple things that might look a little bit different. I guess I'll introduce myself first. I'm David Coleman. I'm an audit partner with Corbis Bazaars, your new auditors. We are officed right here in Rogers, Arkansas, so we are home here talking to you. This is Kate Flores. She's a senior manager in our office, and we do governmental audits, so we're happy to have done your audit this year. So as far as our goals today, we're going to talk a little bit about our financial report overview. I just saw him give a presentation. I know you see monthly numbers, so we're not going to concentrate on that. You guys kind of know what's going on. Talk about audit scope and results, and then future pronouncements and questions. So as far as is the audit, where we're at right now, so I We have gone back and forth with management with Jared on this. Our report is in pretty good shape right now. We'll have to go through one final word processing run. We have already been through our concurring partner review, so I've reviewed everything. My partner has also signed our, she's got a couple things remaining. We plan on, as soon as we conclude this meeting, to issue this week before we leave for the holidays, probably in the next couple days. As far as the report overview, so the big thing this year, you know, we're new auditors, so we came in and we looked at your prior year reports and made a suggestion maybe to combine the two. So and we wanted to do that. We wanted to accomplish you getting everything you need to do. You need to run the utility to see the results of the utility. And make it a little bit easier on you to read the audit, for management to read the audit. So what we have done, we have combined the water and sewer. And so our main financial statements that you'll see in the audit have those combined. We do have the water and sewer, the separate schedules in the back of the report. They're subject to audit procedures. But the front of it, you'll see one column. I'll just show you real quick since we've got the draft here. let me get to it here. All right, so this is your statement of net position. So this is the entire utility. So this is water and sewer combined. And in the back here, if I can skip down, I think it's page 31. Okay, in supplementary information back here, we have water and sewer, and we have separate columns for each of those, and then we eliminate the intercompany balances to arrive at the total. So if you're wondering something on the statement of net position for the water or sewer, you can go back here and look at it, but at the front, that is the entire utility in its entirety. That's most of the water utilities that we audit throughout the state, throughout the country, that's how we present it. You know, you went from having 150 pages worth of audited financial statements to 75. So it's a little bit easier to manage. As far as the report contents, I'm not going to go through every page of this, but just the primary sections, there's the independent auditor's report starting on page one. That is where we render our opinion on the financial statements. MD&A starts at page four. There's six or seven pages there, good stuff for you all to read that kind of gives you management's view of how the year turned out. So it gives various ratios and their thoughts on how things worked out. And then we have the basic financial statement starting on page 11, the statement of net position, which is what we just looked at. Page 13 is the statement of revenues. Expenses and changes in net position, and then page 14, the statement of cash flows. Page 16, the notes, the basic financials, the required disclosures. And then starting on page 28, since you are a GASB, a governmental entity, you do have certain required supplementary schedules. That just happens to be the pension-related schedules. And then after the RSI, we have the combining and individual statements, the supplementary information. That's where we can essentially put what we want to back there within reason. That's where we did the combining schedules. So as far as the highlights, a couple of really high level financial highlights. You'll see this on page five. We did a 3-year trend analysis kind of on your unrestricted net position. So when we're looking at this, we like to look at unrestricted net position, what you can use, what you can spend. Basically unrestricted. So your total unrestricted debt position overall was $46.1 million, $25.4 million in the water and $20.7 million in the sewer. So overall, your total net position is $291 million compared to $272 million in 2024. So you can see the trend. You are a growing utility in a growing region. So as far as the operating revenues, you'll see on page 6, page 13 of the audit, if you're following along there, you will see the operating revenues trended up. This is related to consumption and rate increases throughout the year. Your operating expenses also went up a little bit, and then your operating income remained pretty steady compared to the past 3 years. So that I think that's a good graph where you can kind of see that you're charging what you're supposed to. You know, prices are increasing. Your revenues have to increase to go along with the price increases. On page 7, I always like to talk about pensions whenever I'm talking to a board of the city. The Rogers Water Utility is a member of APERS. That is a pension plan. You are fortunate to be pretty well funded. You're 81% funded compared to 77.94% last year. Your total pension liability is $5.9 million compared to $6 million in the prior year. Again, that is a cost-sharing plan. So you don't actually own the assets. You own a portion of the assets. So, but I always like to talk about that in case we, you know, you do have a pension plan.
Is quick question, is there a percentage that was supposed to be, it went from 77 to 81?
Is that 77 is great. Okay. 80% is greater.
Okay.
So you're
is there a target that we have to be at? Or?
Not really a target that you have to be at. I mean, you're doing what you're supposed to do, you know, and that's based upon market, you know, and the way that pensions work, they're measured at different periods of time. So, you know, it could be a reflection of where the market was at 6 months ago compared to where it is now. So as long as you're making your required payments, you're good to go. And with being 80%, that's good. Page 9, as far as the audit scope and results, we're going to issue an unmodified opinion on the financial statements, clean opinion. This year you did receive some federal grant money from ANRC to help with one of the projects that you discussed, the green one. I know that one. So you are required when you do get have a federal audit to receive a, we're required to look at controls around your financial reporting, around your grants. We did do that. We didn't find any issues. If we had, we would have had to report a significant deficiency or material weakness. We are not reporting any of those, so we did not find any issues that we have to communicate to you. We did audit that program. We'll talk about that in just a second, but we are issuing a clean opinion on the audit of the federal program as well. Speaking of that, the next page, assistance number 21027. This was passed through from ANRC to help with the solid handling project. You received $2.2 million in that. And I don't know if y'all have had that in the past. It's a little bit more than a financial statement audit. What we are required to do is to get an expenditure listing of all the money, how you spent all that $2.2 million, and make sure that you spend it in accordance with federal guidelines. So we look at procurement rules, just all kinds of federal guidelines for that. So you did receive enough money. You have to receive over $750,000 right now. Next year it's going to be $1 million, but if you receive over $1 million, you're required to have a single audit every year. And so you did this year, and we did do a single audit. But again, clean, unmodified opinion. Audit scope and results continued. These are just required communications. So once we do issue a management letter, all this will be in there. But this is just our required communication to those charged with governance. Note 2 of the audited financial statements, you'll see the significant accounting policies. There were no matters to report as far as unusual policies or accounting methods, and really no alternative accounting treatments that we disagreed with management on. So as far as the qualitative aspects and estimates, so every audit has estimates. Every significant audit has estimates. You have a number of estimates. One is your allowance for uncollectible accounts receivable. Management does have to make an estimate on that. We do have to audit that. Also, the net pension liability, that's based upon actuarial assumptions. So we can't tell you what's going to happen 30 years from now, but actuaries do determine that liability, and we check them out and book that liability. We didn't find any issues. As far as financial sensitive financial disclosures, pensions are already at the top of the list for governments, or they used to be. They're, with the market going like it is, it's less these days, but I always like to bring that up. As far as audit adjustments, we didn't have any audit adjustments. We didn't have any unrecorded adjustments. audit adjustments that we passed on, so no uncorrected misstatements. Judgments about the quality of the utility's accounting principles. We didn't really have any issues with any of the accounting principles or how they applied accounting principles to the financial statements, and really no significant unusual transactions that we have not discussed, other than you having a single audit for the first time in a while. So as far as future pronouncements, we've got a couple. Coming up, GASB 103, I don't think that's going to affect you as much. There's a little bit of a change in how the financial statements are looked at, but I don't think it's going to affect a business type entity as quite as much. And then GASB 104 is about capital asset disclosures. Might have a few more disclosures in your capital assets going forward. But I don't think these are significantly going to affect you next year, so not a big deal at all. With that being said, you know, we as I said, we have completed our audit. I thank management, thank Jared Brent for helping us get to where we're at. We're going to move this up into the November meeting next year. This year, we just being the first year audit, kind of changing the way the reporting model. I think we're in a really good place. And I think we're good to go. With that being said, be happy to answer your questions.
Commissioners, questions, comments?
Sounds good.
Yeah, looks good.
Well done. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you having us.
I got it.
Okay.
So I think at this time what we're going to do, I want to entertain a motion to accept the audit for the 2025. And again, this, even though we have a draft, we have a final audit, we're going to go ahead and entertain a motion to approve and accept this audit for the year ending June 30th, 2025. And with that, I would entertain.
I'll make a motion.
Kathy?
I'll second.
Travis? Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
David, thank you all for being
thank
here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jared, good work.
Yeah.
It didn't just happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Picture Rogers?
Someday.
No.
Thank you all.
Dubai.
Short Dubai, you know.
You know, clean opinions are hard to come by. I've seen a lot of them. I know we've all been in different organizations, but to have a clean audit and basically a brand new accounting firm come in, look at the old reports, and I've been through a lot of those old reports where we just really didn't get a lot of. It was kind of here it is, and if you got any questions, you know, let us know. So I don't know who all is involved, but I'm just telling you, getting a good, clean audit out of a brand new accounting firm, that's a lot of good work. So I just want you to know that you and your staff, whoever does that, well done. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Happy with the service we got this year.
And they're on it. I know the pronouncements and all the Gatsby stuff, good luck. And the rubbers and all that stuff, yeah. All right, so we are now going to move on, and I'll try to pick up the speed. We got item number two, which is the red flag report here. We'll take as much time as we need to, so y'all, if you have any questions.
All right, here we go. The FTC does require us to have an identity theft prevention program and to provide an annual report on it every year. Fortunately, I don't have too much to report tonight. The policies and procedures that we have in place as far as opening a new account or making modifications to existing accounts appears to be adequate. We have procedures in place for verifying the identity of new applicants as well as existing customers. We think that we've improved security by shifting to cloud-based software solutions like the one that we use to accommodate online Connect service requests. That's actually a change that we made last year. Seems to be working pretty well. The one thing that I can report on in terms of incidents happened just last month. We had a caller call in to say that she was reviewing her credit card statement and saw a transaction with Rogers Water Utilities on it, and she is not a Rogers Water Utilities customer. And it appears that that card was used to make a payment on one of our customers' accounts. So staff advised her to dispute that charge with her bank and file a police report. Like I said, that was last month. To date, we've not received any update on that. The payment still stands as far as we know, and we haven't heard anything. But in this case, there was nothing that the utility could have done to prevent that unauthorized use of somebody's credit card, but we felt that was relevant for the report this year. But overall, we don't have any changes, no proposed modifications to the program at this time. What we have in place appears to be effective.
So what we'd like to do is entertain a motion to approve the 2025 Identity Theft Prevention Program Red Flag Rule for 2025.
I make a motion to approve a Red Flag Report for 2025.
Second.
Travis and Kathy, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the Identity Theft Prevention Program Red Flag Rule. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item we have on the agenda is the resolution 25-34, a resolution approving the cost of living adjustment COLA for employee wages and salaries, amending the fiscal year 2026 budget and for other purposes. Jared.
So our typical practice is to have a cost of living adjustment effective January 1 calendar year, and then in the middle of the year, coinciding with our fiscal year start, as we have funds and based on performance evaluations, implement merit increases. So we're at that point of the year where we need to consider the cost of living adjustment. It was budgeted at 1.5%, which was our best estimate at the time back in the spring. We have a practice of following the City of Rogers lead, and the City of Rogers is implementing a 2.8% COLA effective with their new fiscal year that begins in January. 2.8% is also the COLA that's being, or that has been adopted by the Social Security Administration. So we're consistent with that metric. We're consistent with the City of Rogers. Because it is a larger COLA than we budgeted, there is a budget impact, and we've got that charted out here. If you look at sort of that top table in the middle there, you'll see the total cost of this COLA over a year, $220,000. That's inclusive of wages. It's inclusive of the employer's share of the pension contribution as well as FICA. So again, $220,000. This would be effective January 1 and remain in effect for the rest of the fiscal year and beyond, but essentially it's one half of that annual cost for the remainder of FY26. So the FY26 cost is $110,000, and that represents a cost increase of $51,100 over what we have already budgeted for FY26. And you can see down here just the allocation of how that budget amendment would be implemented across water and sewer in the different operating divisions there. So tonight we're asking for not just the adoption of the cost of living adjustment effective January 1, but also in conjunction with it, the FY26 budget amendment to match.
You heard the recommendation. So we got kind of a two-part. One is the COLA increase, but also the adjustment of the budget. So with that, I'd entertain a motion.
Motion to approve resolution 2534, approving cost of living adjustment for employee wages and salaries and amending the fiscal year 2026 budget.
Second.
And motion second. Travis Page. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve resolution 25-34.
Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you. The next item is resolution 25-35. It's a resolution adopting a revised standard form for facilities extension contracts and for other purposes. Brian.
Thank you. Yes, this facilities extension contract, and I'll go ahead and scroll down to it.
This is our
standard contract that we ask a developer entity to sign that basically says, hey, your contractor will build the water and sewer extension, and when that's done and accepted, you're going to donate that asset to us for we'll take it over and maintain it. And so there are just a couple of minor updates in here. The biggest one being is that we had all of our access and impact fees enumerated in this agreement and listed out. We took out the entire section regarding access fees since we are no longer charging them. And also just referred back to the section of the Code of Ordinances for the impact fees, so we won't have to come back and change this if those impact fees change again. The only other thing was in section 15, we clarified some of the language regarding the assessment of fees should the contractor or engineer waste our time, basically, and referred back to schedule of fees, costs, and deposits. So that is a brief summary of the changes.
I'd make a motion to approve resolution 2535.
Second. Travis, Kathy, discussion. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve resolution 2535, adopting the revised standard for security extension contracts. The next item on our agenda is resolution 25-36, a resolution designating an electronic bidding service vendor and website for public works projects for calendar year 2026, directing publication of the designations, authorizing an additional website, and for other purposes.
Thank you. We do this on an annual basis. We've been using the central bidding and central auctionhouse.com for a while now to receive electronic bids. This is something we started during COVID, and we receive some of our bids electronically and would like to continue doing that. We also have a note in here about in section 4 about we can also utilize the city of Rogers uses the platform opengov.com to advertise some of those bids, and so it just gets the message out there a little bit more that we've got something to advertise. But Central Auction House will be the electronic bidding platform. We'll just use OpenGov for posting notices.
Okay. I'd make a motion to approve resolution 2536.
Second.
We have Travis' motion, Kathy's second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries to approve resolution 25-36.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next item is resolution 25-37, a resolution approving updates, revisions, and amendments to chapter 54 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Rogers and for other purposes. Mr. Frazier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The city is doing a recodification. They're going to republish the entire code. It's going to be a big, expensive undertaking, and we want to get in on that with updating some sections of the code that have not been updated in a while. There's some old language in there. There's, for example, references to a manager of the utilities instead of the superintendent, and references to the water department or the sewer department or the sewer board or the sewer committee, things like that. So a lot of that language is getting updated. We'll also be a lot of the code of the past few years we've updated quite a bit of, and there's a previous resolution that the commission approving updates to pretreatment as well, so that'll be part of this as well. But what you've got there in front of you on this exhibit is a red line of the kind of bits and pieces of the code sections that we're asking to update. And we've had preliminary meetings with the city and been over this, and I believe it's gonna actually happen maybe in January, as early as January, where we're gonna do this code update. But staff is, all the staff sections, all the sections have contributed to what we have here, and we've got it all amalgamated. This what you see on this exhibit is just the, what I call the bits and pieces of the code where we need to make some updates and changes. So I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Questions, comments? I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 25-37.
Second.
Paige, is that what you need? Any discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
To approve resolution 25-37. And with that, we also had an item number 7 but that has been pulled from the agenda. And we'll discuss at a later time. And with that, I would just say we entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you all very much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes, we made it to another one.